Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Mark Reardon. When I first profiled Kim Tucci a few years back, he had just been diagnosed with cancer and was undergoing treatment. He was a friend, a regular panelist on my Friday Reardon Roundtable, and we connected on movies since Kim was involved in the State Film Commission and locally with Cinema St. Louis. J. Kim Tucci, the co-founder of the Pasta House restaurants, passed away recently at the age of 78. In this profile, we take a journey through his amazing life and contributions to a city that he loved. Today on Profiles, the late Kim Tucci.
Welcome to KingMOX Profiles. From athletes to entertainers to political leaders and entrepreneurs, Profiles gives you an insight into what has made these unique personalities who and what they are today. Now, KMOX Profiles on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Kim Tucci is with me on KMOX Profiles. How are you, Kim?
I'm doing great. Couldn't be better.
One of the great personalities and leaders of the city of St. Louis, but I want to go way back. I want to go way back. By the way, I was looking at your resume and the list of boards and accomplishments. How in the world, let me start with this question. How in the world do you have time or did you have time to do all of these things? It seems almost impossible.
Well, one year I had nine W-2 forms. I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was. What happened? I was a teacher. I got out of college and I taught and I was a high school coach. I taught communications and I coached soccer, baseball, and football, and but I couldn't make any money. So I had to work part-time and then start working in restaurants, and that's what I did. I started out at Lombardo's restaurant up in North St. Louis, and then I was fortunate to go to Tony's for 5 years, 63 to 68. While I was there, I did food service consulting for Flushing Valley Country Club. I got the hiccups. And then I worked for the Carriage House in Belleville, Illinois, as a food service consultant there. And then I did voiceovers for KDI Radio, and I sold the advertising there. He gave me a percentage of what I sold, but I also produced, directed, and did the voiceovers on the commercials.
Yeah, now you're jumping ahead just a little bit. So let's take those pieces sort of one by one. Let's go back before that. So where did Kim Tucci grow up in the city of St. Louis?
Well, now it's probably one of the worst neighborhoods in America. Yeah. Walnut Park.
Wow.
Yeah, Walnut Park is between Goodfellow and Kings Highway, Highway 70 and West Larson.
Yeah, that hasn't turned out so well over the course of time, has it?
My dad was a police officer there and died very young. And he was 51. He was a first sergeant on the SWAT team then.
So when you're younger, let's say you're a teenager, Kim Tucci, teenager in St. Louis, are you thinking about the future at that time? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, because I studied to be a priest.
Really?
Yeah.
So that came before all this.
Yeah, I came home one day in first grade, and I said, I think I want to be a priest. And they treated me like a prince for the next eight years, and I went into St. Louis Prep Seminary at 13, 4 years of high school and half year of college. I got my collar and the whole thing, and I quit after one semester college, and I transferred to St. Louis University.
So what made you quit? What drove you out of that path?
Women.
Oh, at least you're honest about it, right?
Yeah, women.
Yeah, that's usually the cause of a lot of things, isn't it?
That was good.
So then you're in college, and, you know, when I first met you years ago, we had a great conversation just about radio, because radio and communications plays a very important part of your early days.
KBIL, the Voice of the Billikens.
That's where it started.
Yeah.
Now, is that what you thought maybe your path was? You want to do radio?
No,
professionally?
I was an English major, and I took an advanced literature course, and I failed it, and I went on academic probation. And I was on academic probation, and I was knocked me off the baseball team because in the Missouri Valley Conference you had to have a C average, and I didn't. And so I became a communication major, but they didn't call it communications then.
So that was kind of a fallback.
Yeah, fallback. In 1959, it was called public address. There was the word communication didn't exist.
So the you kind of talked about being an athlete. That's another part of the beginning, isn't it?
Well, I was I was baseball player, basketball player, but I was going to play baseball down at St. Louis U, just a walk-on. They only gave scholarships to pitchers and catchers. My dad was a great baseball player. In fact, I'm wearing his baseball, amateur baseball, Hall of Fame ring.
Yeah, that's cool. Inducted. I actually noticed that when you were sitting
across. Yeah, he got inducted last year. They told me that I'm not getting any younger, and I better nominate my dad. My dad would be 98 this year. He was a tremendous ball player, played in the minor leagues with the Cardinals, and then he became a coach and an umpire when he was a policeman. So, but what happened, what changed things around, is that when I was the sophomore, first semester of my sophomore year, when my grades really suffered, I was president of my class at St. Louis University. I was president of my class every year that I was there. And then I was president of the College of Arts and Sciences Student Council my junior year. But what happened that changed everything, my whole life, was the soccer team was practicing in Forest Park. And at the time, I was running cross country, and we practiced in Forest Park, and the baseball team was practicing in Forest Park. But I decided not to play baseball the first semester of my sophomore year. I want to run cross country. So we all were in the same locker room. And I'm changing one day after practice, and the soccer coach, Bob Gelker, who was my coach at the seminary, he says, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm running cross country. He said, do you like it? I said, not really. He says, you want to manage the soccer team? And I said, what do I have to do? Take care of the balls, clean up the locker room. I said, you got any road trips? He said, we got one last road trip, Purdue. I said, how are you getting there? He says, a bus. I said, I'm in. We got a cross-country meet in Northern Illinois, and we're driving in cars. So I quit the cross-country team, joined the soccer team as a manager.
But this was because of the bus trip.
Yeah, I didn't want to, yeah. This was, and all my buddies were on the soccer team. So I went to the assistant athletic director, who was a cross-country coach. I said, I'm quitting cross country. He said, that's good because you were coughing up the filters and everything. I was smoking and running cross country.
Oh, no. Yeah. More coming up on KMOX Profiles as we look at the life of the late Kim Tucci. More as we look back at the life of the late Kim Tucci on KMOX Profiles. Okay. Kim Tucci is my guest, the Pasta House founder.
I joined the soccer team. Well, St. Louis U, it's 1959, the first year they ever had an NCAA championship tournament. So the trainer for the soccer team, his wife had a babe, and he couldn't go to Storrs, Connecticut. He was from the Philippines, Ted Maliola. And he, and so they said, we don't have a trainer. And the other players said, why can't Kim go? He can be the trainer.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know how to do any, you know, and they said, well, let's see. Send him down to see Doc Bowman. He was a trainer for the Cardinals for 50 years and trainer for St. Louis U for longer. And I went down to see him, and he said, I'll teach you how to tape an ankle, do this for 2 weeks. I studied with him, ankle, disc, whatever he could teach me in 2 weeks, gave me a medical kit, and I flew with the team to Storrs, Connecticut. But before that, we had to play a quarterfinal game at public school stadiums against the University of California. And to show you how really early stages soccer at St. Louis University or in college soccer, Gelker says to me, look it, before you tape everybody up for the game with California, the freshmen didn't play varsity then. They're playing Washington U. You take the team. You got to coach the team.
Let's track this here. You've gone from manager because you want to take a bus trip and you're coughing up filters during cross country. And then you're a trainer.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're a coach.
He asked me to coach. Yeah, 18 years. Just take the team. So we beat Washington U 2-0 now. So now what happened is then Bob Hyland comes into the picture, okay, from KMOX. So I became the trainer and we go to Storrs, Connecticut. We win. Okay, we win the national championship in 1959, and I come back, and Bowman says, how'd you like it? He says, you want to be a real trainer? Now it's called sports medicine. You got to have a graduate degree and an undergraduate and graduate degree. I get arrested for what I did in those days. So Bowman said, stay with me. I stayed with him for 3 years, learned everything I could. The next 1960 is my junior year. We're playing University of Maryland in the finals at Brooklyn College. We beat Westchester first in the semifinals. Before the season began, I have to go and meet Mr. Hyland on Hampton Avenue with the athletic director. And I'm 19 years old. And he says, Kim, what we're going to do is the first game of the season, we want you to do a synopsis of the game on the Bob Anthony show from the Jefferson Hotel. You'll call it in. We're the national champions. We're playing Fairleigh Dickinson University, and we get beat. We're upset. 1-0. And I got to call in the game and say, this is Kim Tucci reporting for KMOX on the banks of the Passaic up here at Fairleigh Dickinson University, where St. Louis U went down to defeat to the hands of the Fairleigh Dickinson University.
Right, right.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay. We win every single game, go to semifinals in Brooklyn. Before we go, Hyland calls me up again, go down with the athletic director. If we win, we're going to do the first radio broadcast of a soccer game in America. You'll do the play-by-play.
So now you're a play-by-play guy.
And
this
I'm
is
19,
all happening very quickly,
but I'm the
isn't
trainer.
It? Right.
I said, it's in the books and that. It's in that were written. And I said, what if somebody gets hurt? Hyland says, nobody will get hurt. Just tape them up before the game. Honest to God, you know how he was.
Right.
He says, nobody's going to get hurt. So I'm sitting up in the press box. In the press box. It's held together by 2x2s. Open air, no glass. I got a producer from KMOX from CBS in New York, and I'm doing the game. I'm getting the lineups already. Soccer is really not that hard. There's 22 players interchanging, but it's not like hockey. Right?
Right, right.
So I look to my right, and I see this guy walking towards me with a cigarette in his hand, top coat on like I had, and it's Jack Buck. So what's he? So I go up to him, and he says, I'm Jack Buck. I said, I know who you are, Mr. Buck. I'm Kim Tucci. He said, yeah, listen, they send me up here to do this New York Titans football game, you know, the AFL. And now they send me to do a soccer game, and I never done a soccer game before. You're doing the color. I'm doing the play-by-play. So, okay. So I'm sitting on my left to him, producer on the right. He screws up everything. But it's radio. Nobody knows
Jack,
it.
Jack does.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't
you.
Really know what he's doing.
He never did a soccer,
soccer
game before.
Right. Absolutely.
But nobody knows it. He may sound great.
Of course he did.
Except there were two kids sitting in front of us.
Yes.
And it's in his book, page 106 of his autobiography. Even though he's got the story screwed up, but it's right in there. So these guys, open air, they can hear Jack Buck broadcasting. But it doesn't match what they're seeing on the field.
So they know it's wrong.
Right before halftime, and I have to get a prop, right before halftime.
This is radio. I'll describe the prop. He pulls out a pen.
Well, I'm pulling out. The prop is he had a cigarette in his hand.
Oh, okay.
And the guy turns around like this and says, Mister, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And he smacks this kid with the cigarette in his hand and says, we're on the air. Boom. Oh. And the kid ducks. No. The cigarette breaks off in his hair, and it's stinking up, going out in his – I swear to my God. And the kid froze. Halftime comes. The two kids get up, and they leave. Buck, in his story, he embellishes it, and he says, I hit this kid so hard, he went all the way down the aisle, and thank goodness he didn't come back. I found out Kim can't fight a lick. That's in the book. So now,
can you even imagine if that would happen today?
Oh, he'd be sued 10
million.
Well,
right, right.
He's 36, and I'm 19. We win the national championship, okay? 25 years later, this was 1960, 1985, we had Shannon's restaurant at the time before we sold it. He called me up and said, hey, Toots, can you come down? It's the 25th anniversary of our first broadcast together. So I come down here. I've come down to the old studio, and we relived the whole story and told the story the right way, and he loved it. You know, he was a Purple Heart winner in World War II.
Yeah.
And so that, and then... Fast forward again. He's not doing well. He's got the Parkinson's. He's not doing well. And he called him and said, Toots, you know, I was on the charter committee for the new stadium. He was co-chairman with Lou Brock and him. So we had all labor people at the stadium club because that labor was behind the stadium they were this time. And so he says, hey, dudes, can you tell the story one more time?
You love that story.
I get up there, and I told the whole story. Told the whole story. He loved it about how he punched the guy and macho. You know, it was great. He loved it. He went back in the hospital. It came out, and then he didn't make it.
Yeah.
And then before that, though, after he came out of hospital, they were having a Karen Carroll was the general manager then, and they had a 75th anniversary of Camel X in St. Louis and the 50th anniversary of Jack Buck combined at the Corsan Room. And I go there, and he says, hey, Toots, will you tell the story one more time? They're honoring him. And I said, I don't know if this is a place. He said, well, if I asked you, will you do it? I said, yeah. Well, he didn't. He gets up there, and they had a they had a round table on the dance floor, and they had about 10 auction items, silent auction items. Buck gets up, and he's shaking like a mother, you know, with his hand in his pocket, he's shaking. And he said, and they give him a Waterford Crystal champagne bucket for the 50th anniversary. And he says, I want to thank everybody for this wonderful honor, but I want to thank you most importantly for not having a live auction, because I could get in real trouble here with a live auction. 3 months ago, I bid $2,000 for a visit to the broadcast booth and two tickets to a Cardinals game.
Never lost his sense of humor. There's no doubt about that.
So that was, and I then, as a trainer, I got to then went from 65 and 66. I was trainer for the NBA St. Louis Hawks, and I worked at Harlem Globetrotters in the American Basketball League when they came to town.
Now, your nickname is Hawk, right? So how did you
not
get
– not because of that. It's because when I opened a
totally
restaurant –
totally related? Unrelated?
Opened a restaurant, and it was – I watched things like a hawk.
More coming up on KMOX Profiles as we look at the life of the late Kim Tucci. More as we look back at the life of the late Kim Tucci on KMOX Profiles. Kim Tucci is my guest, the Pasta House founder. Let's get to the restaurant business. We covered sports, we covered broadcasting, all these fascinating stories. How do you get into the restaurant business?
I was waiting tables because I couldn't make any money.
What year was that?
1962. And I got to graduate from college and went to work at Mercy as a soccer coach and a speech teacher. And then I started working at Lombardo's restaurant. And then I got went to DeAndre's, then to coach varsity baseball, varsity soccer, and B-team football. And then I got an offer from Tony's. My cousin was the maitre d' for 11 years, but he was running a handbook out of the restaurant on the payphone. He was a gamp. And they couldn't, after 11 years, they couldn't take it anymore.
A different time, wasn't it?
So he asked me to be the maitre d'. And I worked there from 63 to 68, and they let me off when I worked the Hawks games here in town. And that was it. So 5 years with them, and then I got out of graduate school in 68. Well, I graduated in 69. And then I worked at Rossino's for 4 years as a waiter down the basement. And then I worked at Delana's, asked me to open up a restaurant, and it didn't work out. It was a good relationship, but... So then I became a selling produce. I sold produce for about 13 months exactly. And then I finally took a job. They always asked me to come to A.G. Edwards to sell stocks and bonds. So I went there. In the meantime, I was teaching St. Louis U Night School for 4 years, and I taught a graduate course in professional business speech. I left there, went to UMSL for 3 years and Forest Park for 3 years together. And then I was doing voiceovers. And...
So you're doing a little bit of everything at the time.
Well, then Richard Miller...
Trying to make money, right?
Yeah, Richard Miller from... well, first of all, I'm working... I'm selling stocks and bonds, but then Sam Cavado asked me to, if I want to sell clothes on the weekends, he would pay me so much an hour retail for clothes. So if I worked... He was paying $8 an hour then. This is years ago. And... If I worked 8 hours, I got $64 worth of clothes. See, so anyway.
Not a bad deal.
And then I was doing voiceovers for KDI Radio. Well, then Richard Miller asked me if I would audition for the Oldies show on KDI. It was on Sunday night because that was what I did when I was 62. I was at WIL as a rock and roll disc jockey intern. Okay, so... Richard said, you got to come in and audition. So he brought all the staff around. I was in the booth over on Bomport. And he says, okay, go ahead. And I said, as we traveled on that bombastic boulevard of better ballads, another KDI Golden Olia, the Golden Groovy, the Dusty Musty, the genius himself, Mr. Ray Charles, and I can't stop loving you. Don't forget, more insurance men love our station because they like our policy. That's right, we're the top banana with appeal. So he says, you got the job. I said, Richard, I don't combo. What do you mean you don't combo? That means engineer and broadcast.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't know anything.
We all do that now, by the way.
I don't know how to do
anything.
We
all combo, right.
You know, I don't have a laptop.
Sure.
I don't have anything. He said, well, I'm not paying two people. So I didn't. That was the end of that, and he got Gary Records Brown.
Think about the life of poverty that you could have had, Kim Tucci, had you chosen the path of radio.
Yeah,
you missed
right.
an opportunity. So Gary Records Brown,
and he
became
left
a
to go to Southern Illinois.
Yeah,
and he died of a heart attack, and then he hired Mad Maynard.
Yep, I know Mad Maynard.
And one day I ran into Mad Maynard and Richard at one of our restaurants. I said, Maynard, you wouldn't have your job if it wasn't for me.
I grew up, I think I told you this, so I started in radio with Mad Maynard's son.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bruce, who has a different name these days. Everybody
Columbia?
Has radio names. No, this was here. This was here at the 10-watt powerhouse, KYMC, the YMCA-owned station. All right, again,
okay.
Kim Tucci with me here. We got to get to when you buy the pasta house with your partner, though. So the financing of that is rather interesting. You borrow money from your mom?
$7,000.
That's a fair amount of money in what year?
That was 1970, the fall of 73.
So that's a pretty
yeah.
good chunk of change.
And we gave $5,000 to Rich and Charlie. I'm sorry, Charlie was dead. He was in my second wedding. He was in my wedding, and he and his wife flew into a mountain in Puerto Vallarta. They got killed, and then they had it on the books, Rich and Charlie's in Baldwin. So John Farrar was my roommate before I got married to Vicky, and he said, would you like to have a Rich and Charlie, sort of like a franchise, mm-hmm. not a real franchise?
Yeah, sure.
And I said, yeah. He said, well, you and Joe. So then Joe came in because he's a friend of Richard's. I came in as a friend of John's. I knew Joe from soccer and everything. But we each gave him $5,000, and we went to Pioneer Bank. They financed the whole, gave us $75,000. We built the first restaurant for $96,000. The other contractors carried us for the remainder $21,000. And today, the same restaurant would cost $1.6 million to open.
Almost impossible to do, probably.
And that was 1974, February 8th, we opened up. I was still teaching, and I had to teach two more weeks at Thumsel till they got somebody to replace me. And now it's our 42nd year right now.
At what point did you know then that, hey, this is something I'm going to do? This is working. Relatively soon? Did it take a while?
No, I just thought this was it. $250 a week in a car.
Yeah, that sealed
the
deal.
That's what we got, yeah.
How many restaurants did you eventually open?
Oh, boy. Eventually open. We opened up with franchise and everything, close to 40. And now we have 20. I opened up a lot of concepts. It was fun, like Spanky's Our Gang Saloon, Little Ernie's, Poncho's Mexican, Mike Shannon's, Fred's Fried Chicken, Babe's Barbecue. I'm going to open a restaurant, a Jell-O restaurant, where you get your hand stamped because there's always room for Jell-O. You come in all day and eat as much as you want.
Wait a second. A Jell-O restaurant.
Yeah, we thought about
that one. Wait a second. That one didn't fly, Kim?
Yeah, no, it didn't fly. And I opened up Lido Cafe, Palm Beach Cafe, Flamingo Cafe.
You remember all these.
Spoons, Charlie Spoons, and Brett Hall.
These are the ones that didn't work, though,
yeah.
right?
Should have stuck with a pasta house company. Or I should have opened a sports bar, and I would have been in hog heaven because they operate 366 days a year.
Now, are there still restaurants in 2016?
20 locations.
But do you still want to open different? You still think
no,
about
only
these things?
Franchises if they
really?
Want, yeah.
You don't have, you're not noodling around on other,
no,
like
I
other Jell-O restaurants,
no,
for
no,
example.
No, expand maybe catering. And we just opened a franchise in Festus. The one in Union's doing well. Arnold, Farmington, Baldwin. We own the store in Ellisville. We own the store in O'Fallon. Franchise St. Peter's, Edwardsville. Yeah.
It's a, what was the initial draw for the success of the restaurants, though? Family friendly, lots of different pastas.
Oh, you mean still the way it is?
No, even
or
originally.
When we began.
when it started to really take off?
Well, that's because nobody served tortellini, pasta con broccoli, or fettuccine at family prices. We were lined up around. I mean, we were the first ones, first Italian restaurant chain in America.
Yeah,
that
so
was it.
There was value there.
Yeah, it's still value, no question about it. And then a lot of people that work for us open up restaurants, and now we spoil the people. We have so many different varieties of pasta, and then you get successful pasta restaurants like Pastaria, and that, but they have only got a half dozen pastas. I got 30-something passes. I had 43 one time.
More coming up on KMOX Profiles as we look at the life of the late Kim Tucci. More as we look back at the life of the late Kim Tucci on KMOX Profiles. Kim Tucci is my guest. So that's your livelihood was based on the restaurant business.
Yeah.
But we started this talking about all the other involvement that you have. And you and I have spent a fair amount of time over the years. You've been a guest on my roundtable talking politics. You love St. Louis. You love getting involved in projects, and you love the politics, don't you?
Well, what happened was, in 1979, it was 1980, we had the Flamingo Cafe, and a former student of mine, I taught him 2 years in high school, and he played ball for me, his senior year, played soccer for me, Vin Shamel.
I've heard of him. I've heard of him.
Yeah, and he said, I'm going to run for mayor. But he was the alderman where we had the Flamingo Cafe.
Okay.
So I went to my partner and said, we'll support the guy. He said, he's not going to win the mayor's race probably, but he's still our alderman, so we'll support him. He has asked me to do food for different fundraisers, donate the food. Well, I got involved more and more, and I basically became the outsider on his staff. And what happened was where he was an underdog, unbelievable underdog, against Jim Conway. But Jim Conway closed Homer G. Phillips Hospital. And Senator Banks, Jet Banks, who got to be a very close friend of mine, told him, don't close that hospital until after the election. But he did. And Vin Shamel took 98% of the black vote and became the mayor. And so Vince was one-time mayor 4 years. And then the second term, we had a little falling out, and I was the committeeman of the 28th Ward, and my partner and John Farrar and Joe Bergfeld, we were on different commissions. That we resigned all of them.
What was the falling out over?
Falling out was there were just a lot of things he wasn't, we thought he wasn't, he was listening to other people and not us, and we were on the team. We just didn't agree. We had different agendas. And that was the end of it. So we went our separate ways. We resigned the commissions. I resigned the committeeship post. And that was it. Everybody was upset, the whole city. But I earned my spurs by Vince getting elected. They thought I might know something, but I didn't know anything at that time about politics.
There's a lot of things here over the course of your career. People think you know something, and then you really don't, but you still get the gig, right? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
There's a trend
what happened
here.
Was, then Vince, after 12 years, then he was going to run for governor, and I was with Carnahan. And I worked with Carnahan, and Carnahan, Vince lost 27 of the 28 wards. The only ward he won was the 8th ward where Conway came. And Vince, let me tell you something. Vince was better on his feet than anybody I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you could talk about Bill Clinton and talk about this guy or that guy. Nobody's better on their feet speaking than Vince Shamel.
That's pretty high praise.
He was the best. And we're friends today. I went to his retirement party. He did a great job with Grand Center. No question about it. I think if it wasn't for him, Grand Center wouldn't be what it is today. He knew how to bring people together, but on his feet, man, he didn't have a note. He could get up there.
That's a gift. That's absolutely a gift.
He has charisma and he was terrific. And I'm glad we're friends again. And, yeah, it was a neat experience, but he got me involved, so I kept getting involved more in politics. And then I think what happened, then I joined Francis Slade. From the day he said he was going to run for mayor, I've been with him. And I was honored. I turned 75 last week, and Kitty Ratcliffe had a little birthday party. It was only five of us. It was Kitty and her nephew and Brian Hall and myself and Sharon. And a surprise guest for the whole evening was Mayor Slay, he showed up. And Ellen Sherberg and her husband, Jerry Rosenblum, they join us for dessert. And now the mayor and I meet twice a month just to sit down and talk. We've been doing it for about 4 months. We meet and we just talk about anything. And it's, because when you're mayor for 16 years, people distance themselves from you.
It's good to reconnect and have those discussions. Well, let's talk about one area I wanted to explore with you because of your history in St. Louis and the leadership and the connections and conversations even like that. So we're coming off a period here in St. Louis, losing an NFL franchise, of which you were very involved with bringing that project to St. Louis. But let's not talk about what happened with the Rams. What's done is done. Let's talk about moving St. Louis forward. So how do we do that, Kim? Because there's a lot of challenges. We've been beaten up. We've been battered. We've been bruised. We've been gut punched here in St. Louis. There's a self-esteem problem, I think, because of some of the losses that have mounted up, especially since Ferguson. So how do we take this region and this city and move it forward?
Well, one thing is, first of all, I just see today we had a meeting at 7:30 at the Marriott. It was the Business Journal had a panel. Reverend Starsky from the
Ferguson Commission,
John Nations, the gal Knight from the Board of Education, Early Childhood, and Kitty Ratcliffe. And Ellen Sherberg was the moderator. And it was neat. We found out that we're the most charitable city in America. The giving for the amount of people that live here and everything is terrific. There were some other statistics that weren't that terrific about where we are in an education level and what have you. But we also found out that in December we had more convention hotel rooms in America than anybody else in the city, in the country. And because from December 26th to January 1st is dead area, we brought in a big convention, 20,000 people. It was fabulous. So our business is outgrowing the convention center now. We have to do something. We're 28,000 square feet for banquet space. We need 60,000. So with the Rams gone now, it opens up more dates for us. It wasn't the Rams' fault. It was the NFL scheduling. You can only book so many days between August and January because of the football season. So that opens it up. I think the leadership now with Mayor Slay and with Steve Stanger. Stanger is very cautious, but he's very responsive. Anytime I want to get a hold of him, I get a hold of him. He texts all the time. He responds immediately. And you don't see too much of him out there because he really is watching what he does. He listens to his people. They work as a team. And I think he's doing a good job. The leadership is great. And we'll see what happens next year because you can get a new governor. You have a new attorney general. You'll have a new everything in the state. It's be neat to see how they work together. One thing we won't be able to overcome is term limits. Term limits turn out to be a very, very bad thing for the state of Missouri.
In retrospect, probably. I mean, I've been turned around. I was a fan of term limits. Yeah.
But what happened was the Democrats didn't think this thing would go to vote of the people. If they knew that, they would have said instead of 8 years, 16 years, you would have had 8 terms as a state rep and 4 terms as a senator. That would have been fine. Then it should end. Those 8 years on either side, the bureaucrats and lobbyists become more powerful than those. They're only up there half a year at the most. And just when they get their feet wet and they start knowing what's going on, they're out of office. So I think the 16-year would have been double that and it would have been fine. Going back to somebody up there 32, 36 years was, that was
Well,
that
that's
was
a problem.
Bad.
That's what happens in Illinois. But you have, as you sit here today, though, you have confidence that moving forward, because I think there's a perception outside of the city of St. Louis that St. Louis is sliding in the wrong direction. And I think that a lot of people who live in St. Louis are worried about that. There's some great things happening with innovation, with startups,
with younger
people.
We're number one startup.
Big. That's big, right?
In the country. Number one.
And a lot of that is because of the cost of living here in St. Louis, the relatively low taxes. So there's an appeal because you can live here, raise a family here. It's a great place to raise a family. But you're confident then pushing forward that we're moving in the right direction or that we should be.
Let me give you a couple examples. Cinema St. Louis, we had 447 films. A lot of documentaries, a lot of shorts. That's one thing. One of the best film festivals in the country. The Fashion Fund. My wife's on the board. Susan Sherman starts the Fashion Fund. They just hired a director out of New York. That's all these startup fashion people that have been here and everything. That's a perfect example of what's going on. These young entrepreneurs coming to St. Louis is great. The Cardinals have tremendous management, tremendous ownership. We're a major league city because of them. The Blues, they need help. They need help with Scott Trade. They need help with Peabody. That building's 21 years old now at Scott Trade. But their ownership is visible. They're out there. They're working with the community. And they're not turning their back on the fans. They're doing everything they can. Last night was indicative when you had Bill DeWitt and Stillman out there dropping the puck and wearing reverse jerseys just to show that, you know. But I think there's a lot going on. I think the biggest problem we have now is in education. And what I mean that is that 37% of the kids in the city of St. Louis that start high school graduate. And that's not good. And 80% of those people that graduate are white. And we have to turn that around. That's why I like to hear that lady talking about early childhood, where 30 kids are 36 months old starting early childhood education. Then you look at the superintendent of Jennings. She's got a 98% graduation rate in Jennings High School.
It's an amazing success story, isn't it?
Yeah, tremendous.
Yeah,
she's
Tiffany
great.
Anderson. I've had her on the program, and it's fascinating.
And then we started a new organization, which I chair, the St. Louis Civic Pride Foundation. Forget about tourism. Forget about conventions and meeting planners. This is for the people in St. Louis to be proud. We have an education program. We got a 501c3 classification. We've trained over 1,000 taxicab drivers and hospitality mentality since we started this. And we have the whole hospitality industry can come to us to be trained on how to treat people more nicely, whether it's hotels or restaurants or whatever. We're doing all these things. You ought to see our board. It's a strong board, and they all participate. And those are positive things. The Loop Trolley Company, this is going to be tremendous.
A lot of hope for the future. And we could go on and on, but I'm out of time. But I'm glad you went into the restaurant business, or maybe you'd be here at KMOX and I wouldn't be, and you'd have the Tucci Roundtable. That would be a problem for me.
No,
you
do
out
a great
work.
Job. I couldn't do what you do. I sit back. My wife always says, you try to always try to see how you would be in that person's seat. I said, I do. I like it. It's interesting to see what I would do.
You've been listening to Profiles. If you missed any of this episode or to hear other profiles, go to KMOX.com and click On Demand.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.